Shalom, good morning. This is Radio Shalom coming to you through Planet 104.6 FM. Shalom, Mike.
Shalom.
Shalom, Jules.
Shalom.
Well, it's lovely to have you back in the studio today, and I suppose you're raring to go.
We are indeed.
Of course, always.
Don't forget, we have said it before, laughter is compulsory. Even if it's not funny.
And he'll have a lot of furibble if you don't laugh at his jokes. Furibble.
Okay. How about you, Mark? You ready for a laugh? The answer is always.
Okay. Now,
always.
Today you're going to talk about something very dear to our hearts, and that's the subject of marriage.
So, Jules, how
only good things.
Of course.
Of course.
That's the only side of marriage. So, Joan, how long were you married?
40-something years.
Right. And Jules, how long have you been married? This time.
38.
Okay. All right, well, it's coming up to my 49th wedding anniversary in March.
In March. And the following year is 50.
Yeah.
I hear you're having a party. We're coming.
Yep. It's amazing because I'm only 29. But
That's logical.
That was last week.
Last week.
So, in fact, I mentioned this to Rabbi Natty. I said to him, he asked me how long I've been married, and I said, 48 years. And he said, that is fantastic. He said, what's the secret of such a long marriage? So I said, well, for our 25th anniversary, I took my wife, Izzy, to Israel. And he said, oh, that's marvellous. That's wonderful. What are you going to do for your 50th? I said, I'm going to go back and pick her up.
Where's Izzy? I'm going to tell her what you said.
Okay.
So a married couple, they asked the husband, why, after all these years, being married 55 years, how come you still hold hands? And he said, well, if I let go, she's going to spend all my money.
She's going to go shopping.
Now, more important, marriage always involves mother-in-law. And in Judaism, we don't berate mother-in-laws.
It isn't worth it.
It's not worth it. It doesn't work. But there's a cute story about two Jewish guys, and they're talking about mother-in-law. And the one says, you know, I haven't spoken to my mother-in-law for 2 years. The other one says, wow, you must have had the most horrific fight. He says, no, didn't fight at all. It's just I don't like to interrupt.
So a lady walks into a dinner party with a much older man, and he's her husband. And at dinner, the lady sitting next to the lady turns to her and says, my, that's a much beautiful diamond ring you're wearing. In fact, I think it's the most beautiful diamond I've ever seen. Thank you, the lady said. This is the Plotnick diamond.
Plotnick?
The Plotnick diamond. And the lady says, the Plotnick diamond, is there a story to it? She says, oh yes, the diamond comes with a curse. A curse? I know this is one of your favourite topics, Jules, curses.
Oh, we'll get on to curses.
Yeah. A curse, said the lady. What curse? And the lady said, Plotnick.
So probably the same guy talking to somebody, and he says, I've been in love with the same woman for 49 years. And if my wife finds out, she's going to kill me.
There's a couple having dinner in a restaurant, middle-aged couple, Jaime and Sophie. And as they're sitting eating, suddenly this beautiful young girl, gorgeous young thing, comes in, puts her arm around Jaime, gives him a big kiss, and then goes and sits down. And Sophie says, Jaime, who's that? He said, well, I have to tell you, it's my mistress. She said, your mistress? How could you? He said, look. He said, have you ever wanted for anything? You've got a beautiful Mercedes. You've got a fur coat. You've got a batch, a beautiful batch in Omaha. You've got a wonderful home, lovely children, all the jewellery you could ever want. Do you begrudge me just having, you know, a little interest? She says, maybe not. And then just at that moment, Jaime's business partner, Maury, came in with another gorgeous girl on his arm. And Sophie says to Jaime, who's that? He says, that's Maury and his mistress. Says Sophie. Not as nice as ours.
Look, on the same vein, there's a Hanukkah party coming up, and Moshe and Betty are going to this, they're married and they're going to this party, and it's a fancy dress party. And in the evening of the party, Betty says, I'm not feeling that good. I don't think I'll be able to make it to the party. So he says, no, come, without you it's not, I don't think I'll go. So she says, no, there's no reason for you not to go. I don't want to spoil your fun because I'm not feeling well, I've got this terrible headache. You go. So she prevails upon him and he gets dressed, fancy dress, and off he goes. She takes some painkillers, headache pills, and she goes and lies down. And an hour and a half later, she gets up and she's feeling a lot better. She thinks, well, I'll go to the party and especially I'll go and check on my husband. So she gets to the party and she's in fancy dress and she knows him. She knows his fancy dress, but he doesn't know hers because he hasn't seen it. And there he is on the floor and he's dancing and he's rubbing shoulders with all the gorgeous looking chicks and then he's holding one of them. And then she walks up to him and she's very attractive and quite seductive. And in no time at all, he's pushed the others away and he's holding on to her. And in no time at all, he's whispering something in her ear like, well, let's go outside to the parking lot. And they do. And she's got no problem with it because she's the wife. And they make love. And then they go back inside. And she goes back home. And she gets into bed. And now she's waiting for him. And sure enough, he comes home. And she's in bed and she says, well, how was the party? And he says, without you, it's not much fun. And she says, well, did you do much dancing? And he says, nah, not really. And she says, so did you have any other fun? And he says, nah. He says, you know, without you, it wasn't fun. So me and the boys went into a back room and we played cards. But I can tell you something, the guy who borrowed my fancy dress party had a real good time.
So Ethel and Herman interrupted their holiday to go to the dentist. And she says, I want a tooth pulled and I don't want any freezing or any injection because I'm in a big hurry. She said, just extract the tooth as quickly as possible and we'll be on our way. The dentist was very impressed and he said, you're certainly a courageous woman. Which tooth is it? So Ethel turned to her husband and said, show him your tooth, dear.
That's the curse, eh? So it's to fall in all the down at sand and all, and there was a soul there given son by the ganzen leben. Which means, may you lose...
Say Yiddish.
I'm going to report you, Mike. I don't do him, but I'm going to report you. So it means, may you lose all your teeth. This is the curse, except one, so that you can have toothache for the rest of your life. That's quite a nice
those
deal.
Are the curses you were going to get on. Right.
We'll slip in a few here and there.
So one day, Jaime's gets out of work and on his way home he suddenly remembers it's his daughter's birthday. So he pulls over to a toy shop and he says to the salesperson, how much for one of those Barbie dolls in the window? And the salesperson says, well, which one do you mean, sir? He says, well, what have you got? She said, well, we've got workout Barbie, we've got shopping Barbie, we've got beach Barbie, we've got disco Barbie, we've got ballerina Barbie, astronaut Barbie and skater Barbie, and they're all $19.95. We also have divorced Barbie, which is $265.95. So he says, it's what? Why is the divorced Barbie $265 and the other's only $19? The annoyed salesperson rolls her eyes and says, sir, the divorced Barbie comes with Ken's car, Ken's house, Ken's boat, Ken's furniture, Ken's computer, one of Ken's friends, and a keychain with Ken's private parts on it.
And it's worth it. Of course it's worth it. So marriage is a three-ring circus. Engagement ring. Yeah. Wedding ring. Yeah. Suffering.
Suffering.
Well, life is full of excitement and frustration. The first year, the man speaks and the woman listens. The second year, the woman speaks and the man listens. The third year, they both speak and the neighbors listen. Mike, that was funny.
Sorry, I was concentrating. Yeah,
I
very
don't
funny.
Know if your wife is going to be amused.
Wife's not listening to this at all. In fact, on the day, I'm taking her out somewhere where there's no radio.
So Leah invited some family and friends to dinner. At the table, she turns to her six-year-old daughter, Rivka, and says, darling, don't forget to make a brocha. But, Mummy, I don't know what brocha to say, replied Rivka. All you need to do, said Leah, is to repeat what you heard Mummy said. Rivka thanks for a moment, says, God, why on earth did I invite all these people for dinner?
So we're going to mix it up a little bit with education?
Yes, indeed.
Story of... At school, at lunchtime, I think it was a Catholic school because they had nuns supervising, and all the food was along a few tables. And at the beginning of the first table where all the food was, there was a pile of apples. And the nun had put a sign on the apples, take one and one only. God is watching. And then you went along the line and you got your food. And at the end of the tables, there was a sign written by one of the students. Chocolate chip cookies. Take as many as you want. God is watching the apples.
So a man came home from work to see his wife and young daughter reviewing the girls' Hebrew homework. What you learning, honey? Asked Dad. Well, we're learning Bereshis. Genesis, and Mummy told me how Hashem made the first man and the first woman. He made the man first, but the man was very lonely with nobody to talk to. So Hashem put the man to sleep, and while the man was asleep, Hashem took out his brains and made a woman from them.
A little boy comes home from school, and he lies down on the couch after... At school, he's just done Breshit and he's learnt about Adam and Eve, and he lies down on the couch and the mother says, what's wrong? He says, I've got a pain in my side. I think I'm having a wife. What about the little boy goes to school? First day, comes down, the mother says, how was school? He says, good. She says, what did you learn today? He says, not enough. She says, how come? He says, I've got to go back tomorrow.
I remember my first maths class. The teacher stood up and said, okay, everybody, tell me what's 2%? And a little Jewish boy next to me said, you're right, what's 2%?
That's commerce. Now ask the Jewish businessman, how come he makes so much? He says, you know, I buy goods for... a dollar, and I add 1%. He says, and that's how you got so wealthy. He says, oh, I don't understand that. He says, look, you buy goods for a dollar, and you sell it for $2. That's 1%.
So the Yeshiva University decided to field a rowing team. And unfortunately, they lost race after race after race. They practiced for hours every day, but they never managed to come in better than dead last. So the Rosh Yeshiva finally decided to send Yankel to spy on the Harvard team. So Yankel schlepped off to Cambridge and hid in the bulrushes off the Charles River, from where he carefully watched the Harvard team as they practiced. And when Yankel finally came back to the yeshiva, said, "I figured out their secret." He said, "They have 8 guys rowing and only 1 guy shouting."
Well, education and maybe a bit of kashrut. So Jewish woman and her son are in the supermarket. And down the aisle, they see an African-American mother and her little boy. And they're watching, and the African-American lady says to the little boy, "Denzel, put that chocolate back. It's not kosher." And he puts it back. So the Jewish woman goes up to the African-American and says, "I didn't know you Jewish." She said, "No, ma'am, I'm not Jewish." She says, "Well, how come you said that to your son?" She says, "Well, I've seen you women say that it's not kosher, and they put it back, so I'm doing the same."
So Pinchas was a very religious man. But after nearly 60 years of strict observance to Jewish law, he's fed up, had enough. He said, "Esther, I've had it. No more getting up early every morning, laying tefillin, reciting the prayers. I'm converting to Catholicism." "Are you crazy?" said Esther, but he was determined. So he goes to the local church, he discusses intentions with the priest, and begins taking instruction, and he's baptized into the Catholic faith. The next morning, as always, he gets up early. Without thinking, he puts on his tefillin and automatically starts to recite his morning prayers. "What are you doing?" said Esther. "I thought the whole point of becoming Catholic was so you wouldn't have to do that anymore." "Oi!" cried Pinchas, smacking himself in the forehead. "Goyish a cop!"
He has a nice Goyish a cop story. It's one of my favourites. It's, and I'll localise it, it's a story about two people sitting on the sidewalk in Christchurch, very Christian city. One of them has got a chain round his neck and he's got a mug and dovet at the end of the chain. And the other one's got a chain round his neck and he's got a cross at the end of the chain. Both of them have got hats in front of them. And after a little while, the man with the cross around his neck, his hat is filling up. And the other one, the mug and dovet, has got a few coins here and there. And a priest walks past and he looks at this, he looks at the two hats, he looks at the cross and the mug and dovet, and he goes up to the guy with the mug and dovet and he says, "You know, I think you may have got it wrong." He says, "This is a Christian city. Maybe you misread the situation." So the guy with the mug and dovet says, "Thanks, thank you." And off the priest goes, and the guy with the mug and dovet leans over to the guy with the cross and he says, "Moshe, he's trying to teach us marketing." That's education.
Going
isn't
back
it?
To marriage, you know, when a Catholic girl becomes a nun, goes from being a novice to a nun, there's a wedding ceremony, and she actually gets married to Jesus. And they usually do it in sort of 3 or 4 or more novices at a time. I've forgotten the name of the ceremony. It's got a particular name. So there was a ceremony going on, and 4 novices were about to become nuns to get married, and all their families come, and there's a priest who does the wedding ceremony. And just before the ceremony is about to begin, he looks over the large audience of family and friends and other novices, and he sees 2 Hasidim sitting right at the back. So he goes up to them. He said, "Gentlemen, can I ask why you're here?" He said, "Come for the wedding." He said, "You know that this is four of our novices are going to become nuns. They're getting married to our Lord Jesus. Yes, we know. And, you know, this is a Catholic ceremony. Yes, we know. I said, well, forgive me, gentlemen, but you're Jewish, aren't you? I said, yes. I said, well, may I ask what you're doing here? He said, we're relatives of the groom.
three guys are walking down the road, Jewish guys, and they see a sign outside the church which says, convert to Christianity and we will pay you $1,000. So one of the Jewish boys, men, husbands, says, that's for me. Well, what are you talking about? You're Jewish. You can't do that. It's terrible. No. He says, I need the money. I'm going to do it. So he goes inside, and 15 minutes later, after his baptism and his entry into the Christian church, he walks out and he says, well, that's done. And the other guys say, well, did you get the money? And he says, that's all you Jews ever talk about. In the same vein, they're walking past and one of them says, well, that's for me. He says, it's coming up Hanukkah, which it is, next month's Hanukkah. And he says, I haven't got Hanukkah geld. I've got to have Hanukkah geld. I'm going to get the $1,000. So he does that. He gets converted. He's got $1,000. He goes home. He sits at the table and he's got the smug look, smile on his face, and he looks at his family, wife and son and daughter. He says, well, I got Hanukkah geld. And the daughter says, Dad, you know that bracelet that I've been looking for, wanting for such a long time? Please, Dad, please, can I have it? And he says, how much? And she says, $300. Say, peels off $300, and he gives it to her. And the son says, Dad, you know that Wi-Fi games, the latest version that I've wanted for 3 months, and I can't afford it? Please, Dad, can I get it? Can I get it? How much? He says, $350. He peels off $350 and gives it to him. And the wife says, hi, that necklace that I wanted with the beautiful pearl, please, can I have it? And he says, how much? $350. So he gives her the rest. And he looks at his hands, nothing. And he says, yep, as soon as we Christians get some money, you Jews take it off us.
So old Mr. Rabinowitz is 93. And he goes into a Catholic church and goes into confession.
At 93.
He says to the priest, he said, I have to confess, I've just had sex with a 20-year-old girl. And the priest says, is that Mr. Rabinowitz? He says, yes, he said. You're Jewish, aren't you? He said, why are you telling me this? He said, I'm telling everyone.
The 93 is like this. Guy goes into a travel agent and he says, can we help you, they say? And he says, yes, I need a ticket to go to Wellington from Auckland. Sure, come in, sit down, open the computer. It's your name, your address, your contact. What's your age? He says, I'm 70. So the guy says to him, you're 70, and what are you going to Wellington for? He says, I'm going to Wellington. My father's getting married. He says, father's getting married? How old's your father? Father's 93. Your father's 93. How come he's getting married at 93? Well, his mother's putting pressure on him. What do you think of that, John?
It can happen,
of course.
So a tour bus with 25 Hadassah ladies aboard turned over and they were all dispatched to heaven. And on their arrival, the admitting angel told them that the computers were down, so they'd just have to wait. At that moment, God intervened and said that he would speak to Satan and see if they could be temporarily housed in his domain. And they all went down there to their temporary quarters. A few hours later, Hashem received an urgent call from Satan, said, take these Hadassah ladies out of here already. He said, what's the problem? Satan replied, they're ruining my setup. They've only been here a few hours. They've already raised $100,000 for an air conditioning system.
Look, I'm going to tell this one. It relates to that. But maybe I'll lose some friends. Well, that's a good thing because that indicates that I do have some friends. but I might lose some of them of a particular class. So this is the story. Igor dies and goes to heaven. And the angel says to him, yes, who are you? He says, I'm Igor. He says, Igor? Igor who? He says, Igor the architect. He says, Igor the architect, I know you. You're not a savory character. Down to hell with you. So he gets to hell, and in a no time at all, he's making improvements, including refrigeration and housing and paving and cooling systems. And Satan comes and he says to him, Igor, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm making these improvements, improve living conditions. You know, there's paving and there's hot and cold running water and refrigeration and air conditioning. And they hear this voice from high up, what's going on down there? And Satan says, well, I got Igor, yeah, and he's doing some good stuff. He's putting in refrigeration and air conditioning and housing, paving, guttering. Well, you can't do that. Why not, Satan says. He says, it's against the rules. He says, well, what are you going to do about it? He says, I'm going to sue you. So you can't do that. Why not? You got no attorneys. See, I told you I'd lose some friends. I hope they're not listening.
Okay, Mike, we've only got a few more minutes.
Okay, so Izzy and Howard were brothers. Everybody disliked them, and the entire community hated them. They ran a crooked business. They lied. They cheated the poor. They were also very wealthy. When Izzy died, Howard went to the rabbi and said, I'll donate $1 million to the shul at the funeral if you say that my brother Izzy was a mensch. And the rabbi thought long and hard, but eventually agreed. And when it came for the lavoya, the rabbi recounted Izzy's wrongdoings during his eulogy at length. He then closed with a sentence, but compared to his brother, he was a mensch.
A little boy is digging a hole in his backyard and the neighbour is looking over the fence and he says, what are you doing? He says, I'm going to bury my goldfish. He says, that's rather a big hole for burying a goldfish. How come? He says, well, my goldfish is in your cat's belly. It's all logical.
It's very logical. Have you got a quickie?
I got a quickie. So, husband and wife, I think it's a Churchill story. He was making a nuisance of himself. And one of the ladies, Lady of Sussex or whatever, said to him, you're disgusting. If you were my husband, I would give you poison. And he said, if you were my wife, I'd take it.
Mike.
Yeah, so Jules went into an office and they were asked him to wait in the reception area and he can hear an enormous row going on.
Was I wearing
from
a tie?
The boardroom? No. Huge row, lots of shouting and noise. And Jules said, what's going on there? And she said, it's a partners meeting. She said, what are they shouting at? He said, it's a battle of wits. He said, between who? She said, the Horowitz, the Leibowitz, the Rabinowitz.
And on that, thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to listen next
Sunday.
Thank
you for laughing.
At 10 past 10. And if you've missed this program, you can go to www.planetaudio.org.nz / Radio Shalom. And we would like to thank our sponsor, Nature Bee.